We're continuing the Shirim in Sefer Hamidos. We're in the middle of the Ois Emes, and we're up to the second statement. The second item that Rabbein Ezal brings is actually a quotation from the Gemara, which is Mutar Lishanois Bidvar Hasholim. The Gemara says in Yevamos, Tav Samachei, Omer Rabbi Eloi Mishum Rabbi Elozo Rabbi Shimon, one of the rabbis said in the name of Rabbi Elozo Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that a Jew is permitted to modify the truth for the sake of Shalom. Now this statement is discussed in a few places in the Gemara, in a few places in the Medrash, and it comes up several times for different reasons, different important reasons. The basic proof that the Gemara gives to this item is from the case of Yosef HaTzadik with his brothers. We know that the Torah says that due to a variety of circumstances, there was machlekes, there was jealousy, there was hatred from the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik towards him. And at one point in time, this resulted in Yosef HaTzadik being thrown into a pit of snakes. They wanted to kill him in that way. And then they ended up selling him as a slave to Egypt, to Mitzrayim. And he stayed there, and he ended up in prison for a while, a few years. And in the end, when he met with his brothers and he finally revealed himself to them, his statement to them was, when they said to him, when they realized who he was and how much of a position he was in to make them pay for what they had done for him, he said to them, "Don't worry, because atem chashavtem l'ro, even though your intent was to harm me, to hurt me, elokim chashavo l'toivo. Hashem had in mind only good. I realized, Yosef HaTzadik, being the tzaddik that he was zechut to come to the realization that even those people that were planning to hurt him and that were really interested in hurting him, actually this was all the plan of Hashem to benefit him, to make him great and better, and to make him be the foundation of success for the Yidden at that time." So the Torah says that while Yaakov Avinu was alive, when Yaakov Avinu finally went down to Mitzrayim with his sons, Yosef HaTzadik treated them all excellent. He put them into the most beautiful neighborhood in Mitzrayim, Goshen, and he had them sit at his table, at the viceroy to the king's table, and in many ways he treated them excellent. The Torah says that as soon as Yaakov Avinu passed away, Yosef HaTzadik left Mitzrayim. He secured permission from Paroi to allow him to leave Mitzrayim and to go to Eretz Yisrael to bury his father Yaakov Avinu. Where did he bury him? In the Me'oras HaMachpelah in Chevron. So the Gemara says that while Yosef HaTzadik was traveling to Chevron, he made a slight detour and he stopped off in his hometown. He stopped off in Shechem, in the city of Shechem. Note how these two cities are mentioned in the Gemara as being connected, similar, that these two cities have the worst, the ugliest Rishoim in them. The worst of the Arabs, even today, are known to be found in these two places, Chevron and Shechem. So the Gemara says that he made a detour to Shechem. For what reason? He wanted to stop off to see one of the sites. Which site? He went to look at the pit of snakes that his brothers had thrown him into. Now they were all with him at the time. They all left Mitzrayim together to go to Chevron to bury Yaakov Avinu. And suddenly Yosef HaTzadik says, "Listen, buddies, I have to make a slight detour. I want to go visit one of the sites of my childhood. I want to go see the place where I was thrown into a pit of snakes." They heard this immediately. And logically, rationally, what's the first thought that came to their mind? Boy, he must be seething, and he must have been waiting. He must be keeping in all of that hate while Yaakov Avinu was alive, just like Lahavdil Esav Harosha had said, that I'll wait till my father Yitzchak Avinu dies, and then I'll fix Yaakov Avinu. Then I'll get him back for stealing the Bechira and for all the horrible things he did to me. They assumed immediately that this was what Yosef HaTzadik had in mind also. And why did he want to go see the pit? Because he wanted to reawaken in himself the full measure of hate that he would feel by seeing the place, seeing exactly what they had done to him. This was the first major dagger that the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik felt being thrown at them. And then the Gemara says, when they got back to Mitzrayim, these brothers who were used to being invited regularly to sit at Yosef HaTzadik's table, at the table of the viceroy of the king, with their families, suddenly they stopped receiving invitations. They were no longer being invited to Sudos in the Beis HaMelech. They saw these two things, and they became petrified. They panicked, and they said, obviously, he must be planning to get back at us. Therefore, we better do something. So they decided to take a preemptive measure. They decided to approach Yosef HaTzadik, and the Torah says, Vayiru Ache Yosef Kimeis Avihem. The brothers of Yosef HaTzadik saw that Yaakov Avinu had passed away, Vayomru, and they said, Lu Yistemenu Achinu. Maybe our brother Yosef HaTzadik, now these feelings of hatred are going to be awakened in him, and he's going to want to do harm to us. Therefore, the Torah says, they went to him, and they said to him, Ovicho Tziva Lifnei Moisoi. Your father Yaakov Avinu commanded, he gave a tzavo before he passed away, and he said to us, he told us, Koi Soimru Li Yosef. This is what I want you to tell Yosef HaTzadik. Ono so no pesha avadecho, please forgive the sin of your brothers, please forgive them for the terrible thing they did to you, etc. The Gemara says this was sheker, this was a lie. Yaakov Avinu never said this, because Yaakov Avinu knew Yosef HaTzadik too well to suspect that Yosef HaTzadik would ever want to do them harm. Yaakov Avinu knew his son Yosef HaTzadik was a pure tzaddik, and he saw with his Ruach HaKodesh that this wasn't the brothers that planned to harm him or anything. This plan was designed by Hashem only. They were simply being used as puppets to make it happen. But it was Hashem that wanted Yosef HaTzadik to go through this torture, to be thrown way, way down into this pit of snakes, and then to be thrown to a worse pit of snakes, which was the land of Mitzrayim, which the Torah refers to as the lowest place in the earth, way below sea level, Egypt, the Nile River, all the way down, that this was the plan of Hashem. So the Gemara says Yaakov Avinu never would have said this kind of thing, because he would not have been Choshed B'Ksherim. Elamai, this was something that they made up on their own, because, now the question is, this was an out-and-out lie. How were they permitted to lie? The Gemara says, from here we learn out that mutar l'shanois l'man hasholim, that a Jew is permitted to change, to make a change in a story, in order to help to bring about sholim. Their purpose here was to bring about an achdus between the brothers, between Yosef HaTzadik and themselves. This is one opinion in the Gemara. Now the question is, why did Yosef HaTzadik go to Shechem? The Gemara says that his kavono was purely l'shem shamayim. He knew that the Gemara says that if a Jew has a miracle done for them, then if they ever have an opportunity to pass by that spot again, there's a special bracha that you make when you pass by a spot where a miracle was done for you. The bracha is Baruch Ato Hashem Alekeinu Melech Haolam She'oso li nes b'mokim hazeh. It's a special bracha that a Yid is zeicha to make when they pass by a mokoim, a place where a miracle was performed for them. So Yosef HaTzadik, who was living in Mitzrayim, and he didn't get to travel to Chevron often, and he didn't get to travel to Shechem regularly, now he made a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and he was in Chevron already. He figured he had the opportunity to thank Hashem at the place where his life was saved. He was thrown into a pit of snakes and not one of them touched him. And he knew that this was a chesed of Hashem for him. Therefore, he wanted to make this bracha. Why didn't he invite his brothers to participate in the sudos in his house anymore? The Gemara says that this was because of his great humbleness. Yosef HaTzadik said that while my father was alive, while Yaakov Avinu was alive, he sat at the table with us, and he was the one who arranged the table in such a way where Yosef HaTzadik sat at the head of the table next to him, even though Yehuda was the Melech, even though Yehuda was the one from whom the Malchus Beis David would come from, and even though Reuven was the Bechor, Yaakov Avinu had the authority that when he was sitting at the table, nobody questioned what the seating arrangement was. The seating arrangement was done by their father, Yaakov Avinu, and nobody would mind however he set it up, being that even if he put Yosef HaTzadik at the head of the table next to him. He said, now that my father passed away, because I am the king, because I'm the viceroy here in Egypt, the fact is I must sit at the head of the table. And yet I don't feel comfortable with me sitting at the head of the table and Yehuda the Melech or Reuven the Bechor having to be nichna to me. Therefore, I would rather suffer that not having their company and having to dine alone than have them have to feel this achno to me. I don't want them to feel that I'm lording any power over them, zero. I want them to sit at their own table. A man eats in his own house, there he's a king. When he's a guest by somebody else, no matter how good the company is, there's a certain feeling of embarrassment in that you're taking from somebody else. This was his reason for stopping to invite them at that time. All of his kavanas were purely l'shem shamayim. The Satan made them think that this was a plot against them, that this was sinner and hate, and this was what he was going to do harm to them. Therefore, they were mishana. Therefore, they did this change of the story. The Gemara says that's only one opinion. One opinion says mutar l'shano islaman hasholim. The Gemara says Rabbi Nosson oimer. Rabbi Nosson says mitzvah l'shano islaman hasholim. It's not permissible. It's a duty, it's a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv l'shano islaman hasholim. Where do we see this? The Gemara says again, story time. The Gemara says that when Hashem sent Shmuel Hanovi to do one of the greatest deeds in the history of Klal Yisrael, to anoint David HaMelech as king, this was during while Shaul HaMelech was still alive. Hashem saw how Shaul HaMelech was conducting the Melucha, and Hashem understood that this wasn't the real king of Klal Yisrael. This was not the king whose kingdom would be Lo Netzach, forever. The only one whose kingdom would be Bishleimus is Malchus Beis David. So Hashem told Shmuel Hanavi, I want you to go to the city, to this and this city, and I want you to go anoint Dovid HaMelech, I want you to go anoint one of these sons of Yishai as king. There's a whole story how he found out which son it should be. In any case, this was what Hashem commanded him to do. Shmuel Hanavi said to Hashem, Eich Eilech, how can I possibly go to anoint somebody else as king while Shaul HaMelech is alive? V'shoma Shaul v'horgeni. Shaul HaMelech will find out about this and he'll kill me. This is Moired B'Malchus. The fact is that Shaul HaMelech is the king of Klal Yisrael. For somebody else to go anoint somebody else's king while this king is still in power, that's Moired B'Malchus, you get a death penalty. So Hashem said to him, you're right. You're right. Therefore, what I want you to do is bring with you an animal. Bring with you an animal and tell the people, when you come to the city, tell the people that you've come to the city to bring korbonos, to shecht korbonos to Hashem, and therefore, this way they won't know that your real intent is, the real reason for coming here was to anoint Dovid HaMelech as king. So the Gemara says, here we see that Hashem told Shmuel Hanavi, tell the people. The Meforshim point out, note, why do you have to say it that way? Hashem could have said to him, bring with you an animal, and the people will see you bringing an animal. They know that that Shmuel Hanavi wasn't the type to walk his dog or anything. If they saw him coming into the city leading an animal, it could only be for one purpose, for bringing a korban, to shecht the korban. That was popular in those days. There wasn't a mishkan, there were bomois. Each person brought korbanos on their own mizbechos. Obviously, this was his purpose. Why does the Torah say that Hashem said to Shmuel Hanavi, go in, leading the korban, and tell the people? Not Hashem didn't say, if they ask you, tell them. Hashem said, and tell the people this and this. Rabbi Nosson says, from here we learn out that it's not mutar l'shanois, it's a mitzvah. Hashem said to him, I want you to be zecha to have a privilege of telling a lie in order to teach Bnei Yisrael how important shalom is, how important it is to keep the peace. Here, if people would have found out what he was going to do, and they wouldn't have understood that this is what Hashem wanted at the time, etc., this could have brought a tremendous machlekes in Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem said it's a mitzvah l'shano yislaman hasholim. The Gemara says, still not enough. One step further. The Gemara says, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned, don't be impressed by the fact that we showed you examples of tzaddikim, the sons of Yaakov Avinu, who were clearly tzaddikim, or Shmuel Hanavi, who was a tzaddik, and yet these people went ahead and lied for the sake of Shalom. We'll give you the best example of all, Hashem himself. We know that Hashem revealed himself to Sora Imenu, and Hashem told, in the form of a malach, Hashem sent a malach to Sora Imenu to tell her that you're going to have a child. So the Torah says that when she heard this, Vatitzchak Sora Bekir Bolema, she started laughing, I'm going to have a child, impossible, ridiculous, it's not possible for me, Va'adoini Zokein, and it's not possible for Avram Avinu, because I'm very old, and he's even older than I am. This is what the Torah says she said. The Torah says that afterwards Hashem revealed himself to Avram Avinu, and Hashem said to Avram Avinu, let me tell you what your wife said. And Hashem told over the story, and he left out the part about Sora Imenu making any comment about Avraham Avinu. He only said what she said about herself, that here she heard that Hashem said she was going to have a child, and she said, impossible, I could never have a child, I'm too old. If Hashem said, I'm going to tell you exactly what Sora Imenu said, there isn't a question of memory here that Hashem forgot that she said two things. Why did Hashem only repeat one? The Gemara says, because Hashem wanted to set the example. For Hashem to tell Avraham Avinu that your wife Sarah said you're old, you're turning gray, that would have embarrassed Avraham Avinu possibly, and that could have led to him having a negative feeling towards Sarah for the fact that she said something negative about him. So Hashem himself, Kaviochel, was Mishane Leman Hasholon. The Gemara says, now there's no can you top this. Now we've gone to the highest source. We've proven that Hashem himself, where the Torah says, Chosomoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that Hashem is the epitome of Emes. We say every day in the Shema, Hashem Alekechem Emes. Hashem himself, who is Emes, says that there's something better than Emes. There's something for which Emes steps aside, and that's Sholom. Whether it be Sholom Ben Ish L'Ishtoi, especially, where a person has to be very sensitive and careful not to tell something over, not to do anything that'll make a wife look bad in the eyes of her husband, or not to say anything that'll make a husband look bad in the eyes of his wife. People who are speaking, many times this comes up naturally among people. People are talking, they make comments, and they don't realize that they said something that ended up embarrassing somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife. And they create a negative feeling. They create a riv, chas v'shalom, a machlekes, or an insulted feeling from one to the other. And here we have Hashem himself setting the example, willing to be mishaker, willing to subtract from emes, in order to pursue shalom. This is what the Gemara says. Now, to take this a little bit deeper. Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in Choshen Mishpot, in the Hilchus Ribbis Halacha Hey, Rav Nosson Zal goes into a spectacular discussion about this item emes, truth. Because if a person keeps their ears open to what the world is talking about, and you see what people are all pursuing, and what banner everybody's waving, this is what everybody is saying. Everybody's saying, vote for me. I'm the truth. I'm the real McCoy. Everybody else is phony, fake. I'm the real one. My honest integrity. I promise you that I'm going to do this for you, and I will do it for you. This is what the whole world is about. Whether it's Rabbonim, whether it's businessmen, we're going to offer you the bargain of the century. What's the whole point? Truth. Believe me, this is the best thing you could ever buy. This is the best buy you're ever going to get. This whole banner of emes that everybody's waving, Rav Nosson Zal says, let's look at a medrash that's extremely difficult to understand. Again, dealing with Hashem and emes, and we'll be able to learn this lesson in its highest form. There's a medrash in Bereishis that says, Omar Rabbi Simon said, at the time that Hashem wanted to create Odom HaRishon, Nasu Malachi HaShorois Kitim Kitim. The Malachim in Shemayim were split up into different groups. Mehem Oimrim Al Yivra, Umehem Oimrim Yivra. Some Malachim were screaming, do not create man, do not create Odom HaRishon. Some Malachim were screaming, yes, Hashem, go ahead and create Odom HaRishon. Where were the Malachim involved? The Torah says clearly that when it came to Hashem creating Odom HaRishon, Hashem said, Na'aseh Odom, let us make man. And the Gemara says that Kaviyochel Hashem showed his infinite modesty, that even though he's the boss of the world and he doesn't need any help in figuring out what to do, the captain of the ship should not present an attitude as if he's making all the decisions and he's the one who knows what's right, but rather, even if he is the one that knows what's right, in order for the people to feel part of things and to be able to feel that he isn't conducting himself with arrogance towards them, it's much better if he makes them feel part of the decision. He guides them into them helping him make the right choice, where they feel that they had a part, they played a part in the final decision that was made. So here Hashem said to the Malachim, Na'ase Odom, which means he included them in the discussion as to whether to go ahead with creating Odom HaRishon or not. So the Medrash says Beferish that it wasn't one-sided. There were Malachim screaming, don't, and there were Malachim screaming, do. Which ones? The Medrash says, will tell you. Chesed ve'emes, the Medrash says, about this, the Pasuk says, Chesed ve'emes nivgoshu, tzedek v'sholoim noshoku. That kindness and truth faced off in battle. They found themselves on opposite ends, and they were fighting with each other. Chesed and emes were fighting with each other. And tzedek v'sholoim, righteousness and peace, noshoku, kissed each other. Again, they were facing opposite each other, and there was some interaction between them. The Medrash says, Chesed oimer yivro, shehu goimel chasodim. The Malachim of Chesed said, Hashem, definitely a good idea. Create man. Why? Because man is going to be capable of doing gmilas chesed. Man is going to be unselfish. There are going to be people in the world who are going to live not just for themselves, but they're going to care about other people also. They're going to be concerned as to how the other person is doing. They'll hear that somebody else is not feeling well. They're not going to be so wrapped up in themselves that I forgot completely, but rather it's going to be on their mind all day, because in Shacharis and Shemoneh Esrei, they're going to get their Refayenu, and they're going to be thinking, which people do I know today that are sick? And there's going to be a reminder. And in Mincha, and in Maariv, and then automatically it's going to come natural to visit the person, and when they're cooking their own breakfast, lunch, or supper, they're going to be thinking, who knows, maybe this person is too weak to cook, maybe I can help them, maybe I can send something over. All the different attitudes, these malachim said, for that alone, it's worth creating man. The emes, Oimer, whereas the malachim who represented emes, truth, they said, al yivra, do not create man. Why? Shekuloi shkorim. Because man is full of lies. Tzedek oimer yivro, the malachim of tzedek said, create them, shehu oise tzedokois, because man is going to do tzedaka, there's going to be charity. Sholoim oimer al yivro, sholoim, the malachim of sholoim said, do not create man, shehu kuloi ktoto, because man is loaded with machlekes, because people are full of fighting, machlekes. Interesting. Battle going on between Malachim, and which Malachim? A Malach of Emes fighting against the Malach of Chesed, a Malach of Tzedek fighting against the Malach of Sholem. The Medrash says, Ma'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the referee? Hashem. What did Hashem do? Notal Emes, Hashem took Emes, v'hishlichoy la'oretz, and threw it on the ground, threw it down. Hahu dechsiv, as the pasuk says clearly, vatashleich emes orzo. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says that Hashem threw emes down to the ground. Omru malachi ha-shoris lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the malachim said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, ma ato mevaze tachsis al tichsai shelcha? Hashem, what are you doing? Your own ring? Your own seal? You're insulting like this? You're throwing it into the mud? So the Medrash, they said, Tale emes min oretz. Hashem, why don't you pick up this emes from the ground? This is your pride and joy. The Medrash says, Hahu dechsiv, emes me eretz titzmoch. So Hashem said, fine, you're right. And Hashem picked emes up off the ground. As the Pasuk says, emes me eretz titzmoch, that the truth will sprout forth me eretz, from the ground, implying that it was in the eretz, and it shone upwards. This is a medrash. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that this medrash is very difficult to understand. What's going on here? Hashem would throw emes on the ground. And what's going on that there's a machlekes between malachim like this? What was this all about? And Rav Nosson Zal explains that this is the secret. In this medrash, we have literally the secret of creation. We're going to understand the purpose for which Hashem created the world and what life in this world for Am Yisrael is all about. The fact is that Hashem himself is emes. Now, those emes is not just a midah of Hashem. Emes is Hashem. However, the emes that exists in Hashem himself is the purest form of emes. The Torah says that when there was one person in the world, when there was only Adam HaRishon in the world, there wasn't a power, it wasn't possible for an Avera to be committed. The moment there was more than one person, the moment there was two, the Pasuk says that Hashem saw that Adam HaRishon needed an Ezer, and Hashem created an Ezer Chava, and 2 minutes later there's an Eitz Hadas. Why is the sequence just like that? That first there was Adam, and it seems that everything was fine, no discussion of any problems. Then there was Chava, and then there was an Eitz Hadas, and they sinned, and she gave him to eat, etc. The Gemara says, not necessarily the wife's fault. The problem here was two. When there's only one, there doesn't exist the possibility of Sheker. In Echod, in one, one could only be Emes. This table, if I'm limited to be able to say only one thing about it, to say one word about it, in one word, it's a table, and that's emes. If the moment I can say two things about it, the moment it becomes two, there's room for closer and further. One is a more accurate description of what it is, one is less accurate. The minute there's two people, there's a better and a worse. There's no such thing as two people that are exactly equal. The Zohar HaKadosh says Hashem never makes the same item. So that the minute there were two, there was a higher and a lower, a better and a worse, there was room for a mistake. There was room for an achiza, for sheker. And that's actually how the whole problem came about. That in the second one, the Satan, the Nachash, saw fit to attack and to use his chokhmah, his tricks, to get Chava to make a mistake. He confused her. Didn't Hashem say not to eat from this, not to touch this? And if you touch it, you're going to die. And he pushed her into it. You see, you didn't die. Hashem must have made a mistake. And she got confused for a minute. She forgot Hashem never said anything about touching. Hashem said not to eat from it. The minute there was two, there was room for this sheker. So Rav Nosson Zal explains, now emes spoke up, these malachim of emes, they weren't literally Hashem himself. Even though they had the title emes, their degree of emes could not possibly be equal to the emes of Hashem. So that even though in the world, for example, when we say, when there's a machlekes in the Gemara, one rabbi says like this and one rabbi says like that, and the Gemara says that we believe Elu va'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, that both of them are saying the word of Hashem, even though the fact is that both of them are saying the word of Hashem, lahalacha, we don't follow both opinions. If a Jew goes against the halacha, the Gemara says he's chayev misa. The Gemara discusses one of the laws of Kriya Shema, a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether a person is supposed to stand for the Kriya Shema Shel Shachris or not.
And the Gemara says the halacha is mi'em, that even though it says in the Torah b'shachbacha u'b'kumecha, that you say kriya shma laying down and standing up, it doesn't mean literally laying down or standing up. It means at the time of laying down, before you go to sleep, that there's a kriya shma at night, and there's a kriya shma at the time that you wake up in the morning, but not to stand up for this one or to lie down for this one. And the Gemara says that there was once a case of somebody who followed the opinion of Beis Shammai in this, and the Gemara says that one of the rabbis said to him that if you would have gotten killed, I wouldn't have been surprised. If you would have died for this, I wouldn't have been shocked, because you shouldn't, because the halacha was paskened like Beis Hillel, you shouldn't have taken a chance of being machmir like Beis Shammai. So we see that even though this is emes and that's emes, there still is a lemaisa. There still is one of the two that Hashem wants a Jew to follow. Now in this case, where the Torah, the Medrash says that there were Malachim of Emes who said, Hashem, do not go ahead with the creation of man. If we simply look at the end, at what happened in the end, Hashem did go ahead and create man. If that's what Hashem ended up doing in the final picture, then obviously that was the real Emes. That was the Emes La'amitoi. The emes la'amitoi was that it's the right thing to go ahead and create man. If so, what about these malachim, which the Torah itself gives them a label of emes? The Torah says they represented emes, and they were explaining why not to go ahead with the creation of man. Rav Moshe Zal says, from here we see that there exists different levels of emes. That within emes, for example, the Torah is emes. Every single Jew that studies Torah is plugged into the emes. Does that mean they're all going to be identical? Does that mean that they all have the same opinion? That they all follow the halacha exactly the same way? The answer is most definitely not. We see there are thousands of differences. Does it mean necessarily that there's only one way to do it and all the other ways are sheker? The answer is chas v'shalom. Just like in this case, even the malachim who said differently from Hashem kaviyochel, they were still called emes. The Torah still gives them the label emes. So then what's going on here? Who's right? Who's wrong? How do we figure this out? And what was the solution? How did Hashem solve the problem? Hashem took emes and threw it down on the ground. What did that solve? Rav Moshe Zal explains that you should know that a malach who lives in a glass house, who lives in total purity, in total whiteness, a malach can't really know what emes is. Because in order for a person to appreciate light, to really fully understand what light is, you have to be able to have darkness to measure it against. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki Yisroin Ho'er min HaChoshech. How do you evaluate light against a dark background? If I have darkness to compare against, then I can judge different shades of light. If a person has only light to deal with, if a person has only emes, then that person can't really judge the different shades of emes that exist. Rav Moshe Zal says that it's only those tzaddikim, the greatest of tzaddikim, who are sent down into this world, this world which is called the Olam HaSheker, and in this Olam HaSheker they lock horns with the Yetzirah and they roll in the mud and they go through Yisurim, suffering, and they go through Nisyonos, tests and more tests and more tests, and each time a tzaddik goes through a test, the test brings him closer to Hashem. We find many psukim in the Torah, the word Nisayon, which means test, also means leman nasoi seschem, to elevate the Jews, to lift them up. That each time a Jew suffers, going through a test, where the person enters into suffix, when a person's going through a test, they doubt. At the time that they're going through a test, they doubt Hashem, they doubt themselves to some degree, and if the person ends up being victorious in the test, the person strengthens themselves, and the good wins out over the bad, then the level of emes
that tzaddik, the tzaddik who has emes and sheker pitted against each other, fighting against each other, and then he's able to have his emes win over his sheker, he's able to avoid falling victim to the avera, he's able to do the mitzvah, his emes is on a much higher level than a malach's. True, by the malachim there is emes, but their emes, and true, what the malachim here said was a fact, that people will lie. And if one of the midos of Hashem is emes, then that would justify not going ahead with creating man, because then man is the opposite of Hashem. Man is against Hashem. But what they didn't know, because they were limited only to emes, they didn't know that Hashem said, hold on, I have a whole list of names. One of my names is Rachum. One of my names is Chanun. When in the world am I going to get to use my Rachmonus or my Chaninus unless Yidden do Averois? It's only if a Yid is given the opportunity to do Averois and to mess up and to fall, and then the person shows that they sincerely want to return, and then I'll pi emes, I can't really let them in. That's when I get to exercise these other wonderful midos that I have, Rachmonus and Chaninus, to override the emes and to accept this person back in tshuva, to give this person a chance to come back. These were some of the... This is why Hashem said, Tashlech emes orzo, that the solution was, take this emes and throw it down to the ground. It's only when the emes goes down into the tumah, into the eretz, that's when the emes is brought up from there, that's the purest form of emes. Otherwise, we find the Gemara makes a statement, kol dayon hadon din emes la'amitoi, is a shutuf tashem in my sabreishis. Any judge who brings out a din emes la'amito, a truthful din, the Gemara is stuttering, what's din emes la'amitoi? And the Mefarshim explain that, what is that talking about specifically? That's talking about pshara. That's talking about a dayon whom two people come before him. This one says it belongs to me, this one says it belongs to me. And the dayon is able to get both of them to make a compromise. He's able to get the two parties that are arguing against each other to meet each other halfway. That's called emes la'amitoi. Emes might dictate that one is right, one is wrong. That kind of emes is not anywhere near as good as a shalom, an emes that leads to shalom, an emes that leads to a peacefulness where good and bad are both, where we're able to find the good even within the bad. This is where the Torah says about tzaddikim, that what's the madrega of a tzaddik? A tzaddik is one who's able to judge everybody lekaf schus. A tzaddik is one who's able to look at a Jew at his worst and be able to be malamed zchusan, and be able to prove to Hashem that this person is really good, as in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Jews had worshipped the Egel HaZohov, and Emes said, Hashem, they're sheker. They're worshipping Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah is sheker. Kill them, destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu stood up and argued with Hashem, and was mispalel and begged Hashem until he was able to get the Yidden saved. Rav Nosson Zal says this is also the secret of Atashlech Emes Orza. What is Eretz? Eretz is Emuna. Shchon Eretz Ure'e Emuna. There's a pasuk that says that Eretz is synonymous with Emuna, and we know that Emuna is synonymous with Tefillah. A person shows their Emuna Hashem in Tefillah. That when a person has Emes alone, with Emes alone you can make a mistake. With Emes alone a person feels they're right. How many people have killed because they believe they were right? That because of their emes, they broke up marriages, Rachmona Litzlan. We find cases in Klal Yisrael itself, the machlekes that existed hundreds of years ago among Hasidim, Misnagdim, and Lahavdil. We find this today, in today's generation. Machlekes, silly, childish, political machlekes, where we hear things that are marvelous harayin, that blow a person's mind. We hear that there are marriages that were broken up, divorces that took place, because this one is this one holds from this shita in politics, this one wanted this political party, and this one wanted the other political party, and they were willing to break up. And for what? for Emes, because this one believes that his Rebbe is the Rebbe Emes, and that therefore if his Rebbe says that this political party is the right one, then that's an Emes that's worth destroying for. And the other one feels just the opposite. Hashem said here that Emes I don't want. That Emes, push it away from me, because that Emes is not the highest level Emes. The highest level Emes is the one that'll bring about a Hiskarvus. Just like the Torah says about Eliyahu Hanovi, the Gemara says that Ein Eliyahu bo letamei uletaher, elo lasois sholoim bo'olam. That Eliyahu Hanovi, the Gemara says that there are certain halachas in the Gemara where we're not sure in the end what's the final psak. So the Gemara says, teku. Teku means we leave it hanging, and when Eliyahu Hanovi comes, he's going to resolve these sveikos. So people figure, how is he going to resolve it? Very simple. Eliyahu Hanovi is going to show up and he says, you're right, you're wrong, you're right, you're wrong. That's the way he's going to do it. The Gemara says, wrong. That's not the way he's going to do it. Eliyahu Hanovi is going to have this, the type of emes that's going to be able to bring about a shalom. Because there was one question on this medrash that possibly nobody noticed. Emes wasn't the only one complaining about man being created. There were two. Emes complained and Sholem complained. Sholem also said, don't create man because man is full of ktoto. If Hashem threw Emes on the Eretz, why didn't he throw Sholem to the ground also? Rav Nosson Zal asks. And Rav Nosson Zal answers, because Sholem didn't do anything wrong. Sholem was right. That when a person is marbe machlekes ktoto, that person is better off not being in the world. Proof is, the same Hashem who when the Yidden worshipped Avodah Zarah, Egel HaZohov, he let them live. The Erev Rav, those big Rishonim, super Rishonim, them he didn't destroy. And when Korach and the 250 Sanhedrin, who were Talmidei Chachomim, who were Tzadikim, when those Tzadikim started up a Machlekes in Klal Yisrael, the earth opened up, Vatashlech Emes Orza. Your Emes, your Rabbi, all of you into the ground. The ground will open up and swallow you up, so that Emes may Eretz Titzmoch. Because the real Emes is going to grow forth from the ground. Bedavka, from that lowest level, is going to come forth the highest tikkun for Emes. This is why it's not the Sholem didn't have a problem. It's the kind of Emes that leads to Machlekes. These Malachim of Emes who are able to be Mekatreg against creating man, Rav Nosson Zal says that it's from this incident that all the Machlekes that we find in the world today, throughout the generations, Yosef HaTzadik brothers against him, the Machlekes of the Erev Rav against Moshe Rabbeinu, Korach, the different cases of Machlekes that we find in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, and of the Machlekes that we find raging today. The Gemara says that the generation right before the coming of Moshiach, there's going to be lots of Machlekes. Where? Iraq, Iran, Egypt? That's baby stuff. The Gemara says the real problem is going to be the category of Shebein Talmidei Chachomim. Among the frum people, among the Talmidei Chachomim, there's going to be machlekes. Each one's going to be screaming emes, and with my emes, I'm prepared to kill. With my emes, I'm prepared to say that person is better off. They would be better off if they wouldn't be born. It's a mitzvah to kill. It's a mitzvah to destroy the marriage. I, Hashem himself, said that if there's a question of me, Hashem, or a marriage, I'm willing to step aside. I'm willing to have a parsha in the Torah erased. There's a halacha in the Torah, tear it up. If the halacha is going to lead to divorce, tear up the halacha. There's a parsha of Soita, Rachmona Litzlan. There's a parsha of Soita in the Torah that Hashem said, erase it. If this will bring about, if a husband has doubt over his wife, there's Sofek, there's Machlekes between husband and wife, then Hashem said, I'll show you how much I'm willing to contribute to bring about Sholem. I'm willing to have Yimoche Shmi for this Kiddush Hashem, for the Kiddush Hashem that will be brought about through a Sholem. And this, Rav Nosson Zal says, is the explanation of what the Gemara says here, Mutar Leshanois Leman HaSholem. That there are people who feel, they believe they know what's Emes, they believe they know what's Emes, and their Emes results in Machlekes. For such a person, the Gemara says, your emes isn't the real emes. Your emes, it's you're permitted to change. You believe that this is right, then do what's wrong and you'll be better off. If you think it's wrong to let your neighbor live, if he's on a different political party than you, you feel he'd be better off dead, then do what's wrong and let him live. If you believe it's usher to say good morning to him, or if you see him carrying heavy packages, usher to do it, because he doesn't daven in the same shul as me, or because he's machlet, then do what's wrong. By all means, get rid of your emes, put the emes on the ground, and leave your hands open to help the other person. And this is what the Gemara is referring to here, that if a Yid is zeicha to do this, this brings about the true kavod of Hashem. There's a lot more to say about this, but we have thousands of other items to cover here. For now, let this suffice on this item, just to give you an idea. Rabbeinu Zal wrote this down as an item to remember. Obviously, he knew the Medroshim and the Gemaras and all of these things. In those words, Mutar Leshano Islamana Sholem is included everything we said, plus much more. Halavai, we should be zeicha to take this lesson to heart. We see here clearly that there's an emes that's sheker, that there's an emes that was wrong. Emes said, don't create man. The Torah calls it emes, and yet it was wrong. Which means that any one of us certainly could easily be mistaken. We could have a pasuk to prove, we could have hundreds of proofs to show that we're right, and what we're doing is right, and our attitude is wrong, and our attitude is right, and the other person is wrong. And Hashem says that there's an emes that's wrong also, when it conflicts with shalom. And it's bedafka, this item alone, that's written about Eliyahu HaNavi, that this is going to be Eliyahu HaNavi's purpose of coming to the world. And when the Torah gives a nickname to Moshiach, what is Moshiach's nickname? Aviad Sar Shalom. Moshiach is called the Sar Shalom. That's going to be his greatest accomplishment. That right before Moshiach's coming, the main problem that Yid not going to have is that their emes is going to be a type of emes that's Ma'ira Machlekes. Moshiach is going to come to the world and correct everybody and show us all a new emes, an emes that nobody imagined, an emes that's in perfect sync with Shalom. Halavai, we should be zeicha in the zechus of taking this lesson to heart and davening to Hashem to be zeicha, to be mekayim, this etzah, this advice of the Gemara. We should be zeicha to get to see now the coming of Moshiach, the binyan beis hamikdash, merav yameinu, amen v'yamein.